after you've had a little bit of success as a side hustler, you made some money, you're starting to get pretty confident in your skills. The next obvious question is, when do I take this thing from side hustle to full-time gig? And that is exactly the question that we are answering today on this episode. Are you ready? Let's go. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast. I hope you can hear the smile in my voice as I'm talking to you, or if you're watching on YouTube, hopefully you can see it behind the microphone and the mustache that I'm still going strong with. I'm glad that you're here for another week of the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast. We've got another fantastic guest. Her name is Miss Jessica Hagmeier, and Jessica took the leap about 2 years ago from being a full-time employee at a corporate job to becoming a full-time web designer. She started her own agency and only a year later was hiring her first employees. She learned a lot along the way, and she is sharing that experience with us so that you can be successful when it is time for you to make the leap from side hustle to full-time gig. But before we dive in, I've got to ask, have you subscribed to the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast? Have you left a rating? I want to encourage you to do that because it helps other people find this channel, this podcast, and learn from it as well. I love what D.L. Ryder said. He said, "This guy knows what he's talking about, and when he doesn't, he straight up says so." And that's true. When I don't, I tell you, or I bring on a guest who does know what they're talking about. I decided to start making a side business of building websites before I found Self-Made Web Designer, but Chris's knowledge and encouragement solidified my confidence. Hey, I am so thankful to hear that and honored that you would listen. This is a lot of fun, and hopefully we're building a community of people who are encouraging each other to go for it and to keep going no matter what they face as freelance web designers. Okay, are you ready to dive in with Miss Jessica on how to know when to go from a side hustle to a full-time gig? Okay, let's go. Well, Jessica Hagmeier, how are you? Thank you so much for being on the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, where you've come from, what you do now, and how you got from the beginning to what we see today.
I mean, I'm a little unconventional in how I've lived my life. I have been freelancing. Well, I taught myself how to do graphic design and website design about 10 to 12 years ago. And I kind of had just been doing it on the side for pretty much that entire time. At the end of 2008, I was in corporate 2018, sorry. I'm getting older. So at the end of 2018, I was actually in corporate America and I was working for a cybersecurity startup. And about 2 to 3 days before Thanksgiving, they just decided that they no longer wanted to be in business. So I took that as an opportunity to kind of figure out what I wanted to be when I grow up. And even though I'm still trying to figure that part of it out, I knew that I could at least use graphic design and website design to try and make some money, you know, while I was kind of figuring it out. I knew I didn't want to go jump right back into corporate America. So decided to kind of do the freelancing route for a little bit. That ended up going a lot better than I anticipated. And so I officially made myself a business in August of 2019 and then hired my first employees, part-time employees and contractors in February of 2020. And then we all know COVID hit. So that's kind of been my ride thus far.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what was that decision like when you had lost your job in the cybersecurity company and decided to go ahead and go for it? What were you thinking? What were your fears? What were your hopes and dreams? And how have things looked from those first few days, you know, what you were thinking it was going to be like to what it actually is today?
I had already gotten a taste for kind of being an entrepreneur because in 2007, I decided to start my own magazine. And that was what really prompted me to kind of start learning graphic design and website design. I just got bored of work one day. I wanted to start a magazine and I had no idea what I was doing. And I had no money to be able to pay anybody. So I did that for quite a few years and it was, you know, ended up being semi-successful, but for various reasons, I decided to go back into corporate America. That time from about 2012, being fully immersed back into corporate America to 2018, I worked for some really good companies, but I also hit a lot of ceilings and I dealt with kind of knowing that I wanted to achieve more, I wanted to succeed more, I wanted to make more, but there were frameworks in place that were allowing me not to be able to do so. So when the cybersecurity company dissolved, I took it as an opportunity to, even if I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, I took it as the sign, so to speak, that I needed to step away from corporate America and I needed to figure out how to kind of make it on my own, because if I was going to make more, if I was going to have more control over my life, then I had to be the one to do those things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's real similar to a lot of people that I've talked to who've been on the show who have felt and done the same thing that you have, is that desire to be master of your own fate, so to speak. And so I think that's probably a key factor for people who are listening, who would maybe question, am I cut out to go on my own or should I stay in this career? Like what are my options here? So you've probably talked to a few people who are asking themselves that same question, because inevitably, you know, like when you do something, if you blaze a trail for yourself, people go, hey, how did you do that? I want to hear about your story. So what do you tell people who come to you and say, should I do this? Should I, you know, take something that's been a side hustle and go to being this my full-time gig? Like what are some things that you look for? How do you encourage them as far as that goes?
And it's funny that you say like master of my own fate, because I actually had that tattooed on my body. Like I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul from Invictus. That's tattooed right here on my arm, actually.
Nice.
So I think that kind of, that's the essence of what it really takes to be able to be an entrepreneur. You have to be willing to own everything. You have to be willing to own all of your failures and your successes. And I think if you're going to go out on your own, or like if I would give advice to somebody to go out on their own, one, you have to have the desire to do something more than what you can do by punching a clock. And it has to be more than a monetary value, because initially you're not going to be making the same amount of money that you were in corporate America. You're just not. Even if you're working at McDonald's, like you're still going to have startup costs. You're still going to have fees and expenses, and it's going to take longer to get contracts signed. It's going to take longer to get work done than you ever anticipated. So I think you have to have a bigger desire than something monetary. And at the end of the day, like you have to own your own BS. And if you're not willing to 100% own your faults as well as your strengths, if you're not willing to take accountability for everything that might fail and everything that will fail, then you're not going to be able to be successful as an entrepreneur. Because at the end of the day, no matter what it is, it's always on you. You could have 10, 20 employees. If the job isn't done, if you don't deliver to the client, if the contract doesn't get signed, whatever it is, it's on you. And so if a person is kind of inherently not owning their own crap, or, you know, owning their own BS, or if, you know, they kind of are looking for other people to either take care of them or to delegate to, or, you know, that sort of thing, then this is probably not the right path for you or for them.
You're getting real deep real quick. I love it. You're cutting to the core. So I'll flip that question on you. What's some of your own BS that you had to kind of come to grips with when you first started, and how did you get past that?
I am very much my own worst enemy, in terms of I am like my own worst critic, and I probably feel like I'm capable of less than most people in my life. So understanding that I'm ordinary. At the end of the day, I'm ordinary. There's nothing special about me. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the prettiest. I'm not the most successful. I don't have any inherent talent that I was, you know, born with. So for me, it was kind of owning all of the things that just made me who I am, or, you know, just being like, I'm good at everything, but I don't excel at any one thing. So it was kind of owning all of that in order to use it as a strength rather than looking at it as a weakness. And until I went out on my own and became an entrepreneur, I looked at those kind of things as weaknesses versus understanding that there was value in them and that I could actually use them to my advantage.
So it sounds like there was some comparison going on of looking at other people who had probably done this before and going, I might not be like them, but I have something unique to offer.
Exactly. And I think that that's why, you know, so many people, especially nowadays, like they want to charge for their expertise or they want to charge, you know, for classes or for courses. Like we're seeing a lot of that right now. But I think that there really is a lot of value in people who have made it for themselves and who do have a lot of knowledge and just sharing that knowledge. Because even if you give somebody all the tricks of the trade, or even if you let somebody know, you know, everything that you know, you still have your own special way of doing things, and you still have your own special way of interacting with your clients, and how you work works for certain people. So helping others and kind of giving that information out, a lot of people look at that like as a negative, but at the end of the day, like you're not cannibalizing your own clients. You're not cannibalizing your own source of income. So, you know, why not kind of give that information out? Why not help somebody get, you know, the younger version of you get to where you are quicker.
Yeah. So being generous with your expertise, being generous with what you're offering to clients, even if it doesn't ever turn into getting a paycheck from them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my old boss used to always call it like giving them the pickle. Like if you order a sandwich, you want a pickle. You don't want to necessarily pay for the pickle. You don't charge for the pickle, but you give that extra value to show that you're invested, that you care, that you see value in the person buying the sandwich.
No, I love that. I'm going to use that. And if you're listening, you should tweet it right now. What did you say? Give them the pickle. That's great. Yeah. So where's the line there? Where do you go from adding that extra value to being taken advantage of?
It comes down to setting boundaries and communicating. So as you're first getting, you know, to know a client, as you're first starting kind of working with a client, you definitely deliver what you promise to deliver. You try to deliver it faster or better than what you planned on. And you kind of create that groundwork that, you know, create what the expectations are going to be on both sides. And as that relationship develops, you'll kind of get the feel for, you know, knowing the clients that you want to give them the whole pickle versus, you know, the quarter pickle. If you're at Jimmy John's, you know, they have the big pickles and they cut them in quarters. So I think it's, you have your certain standards, you have your certain processes that you start with, but as you get to know clients more and as you know which of those clients are not only going to be valuable to you personally, you know, for the next quarter, the next year, however long it is, but also those clients that are referring you and that are, you know, giving you Google reviews and giving you Upwork reviews and sending their friends and their family and, you know, peers and other companies to you. Those type of relationships will definitely make themselves known. And those are the relationships that you really, really want to nurture and do whatever you can on both sides to deliver.
I want to take a second and tell you about a free course that I have available at selfmadewebdesigner.com. Over 1,000 people have been through this course, and I am talking about the Web Designer Starter Kit course. I map out in 4 videos that you get through email all the steps that I took to get to where I am as a web designer. And I went from knowing absolutely nothing. I was clueless to in 2 years, doubling my income with a freelance web design side hustle. I made this because I know you can be successful doing the same thing. And the Web Designer Starter Kit course is the first step for you on your journey to being a successful, thriving freelance web designer or having a full-time career. So I can't wait for you to check it out. Go to selfmadewebdesigner.com and sign up today. So let's talk a little bit, go back a little bit and chat about going out on your own. You know, one of the things I think that a lot of people face when they leave the corporate world and step into full-time freelancing or full-time business is it can be kind of lonely, you know, and like you said, owning your own stuff. Like if you can't do something and you don't have a team around you to kind of help, it is way more difficult than if you're one piece of the puzzle. So how did you navigate through that? And are you doing different things now to kind of build a community and build, you know, a group of peers, or even like you said, hiring your own people? What did that look like for you?
Sure. I think initially one thing that kind of set me apart from a terms of I had no option but to succeed, whatever that might look like, is, you know, that I do have a kid and I'm a single mother and I've been raising my son on my own since I was 18 since I was 18, because he's almost 18 now. So, if I was going to go out on my own, I had to succeed. I had to bring in a paycheck. I had to make things happen. And if I didn't, then not only would that negatively impact my son, if I then turned around and said, well, it was this client's fault or it was this or all these external factors, then I'm creating a very negative example for my son. And that was something I was very aware of and something that I didn't want to do. That kind of was the thing that initially kept me moving and kept me going. As I got busier and as I was getting more and more referrals and as I was, you know, I constantly had stuff on my plate, I knew that, okay, I can make this a business. So that's when I made it, you know, I incorporated, I got my business bank account, I got my EIN, all of that kind of thing. Once I did that and business, you know, everything didn't implode because I took that big step, you know, business kept coming in and that sort of thing. I kept getting busier and I felt myself not delivering the way that I would normally deliver because I had, you know, I took on a lot of work because I was not going to say no to work because I'm a single mom. Why would you say no to money? And, you know, I was taking on clients for the same reason. So I knew at that point, if I'm going to actually grow this as a business, this is now time to bring in more people because I can't do everything myself. And what it might cost me to hire somebody, if I keep on the path that I'm keeping on, I'm not going to be able to deliver in the way that I say I'm going to. I'm not going to meet deadlines. I'm going to lose clients and it's going to cost me more in the long run by not bringing on somebody and not paying somebody than it would to just go ahead and make that move now, even if I can't technically afford it. I knew at that point I couldn't afford not to do it.
Yeah, that's good. It's good insight. So talk a little bit maybe about the peer-to-peer relationship. Is there anything that you do to, you know, reach out and build connections with people who are doing the same thing that you're doing and try to find advice or trying to find encouragement? Like, how have you navigated that? Because, you know, again, like I mentioned, it can be a pretty lonely world when you're a solopreneur kind of doing things on your own.
I like that term. I haven't heard that one before. I'm going to steal that one. You can have the pickle. I'll have solopreneur.
Perfect. You know, the trend is that you just take whatever at the beginning and you add a preneur to it. And it's like it's this new thing that people say.
Like mompreneur and woman.
Exactly.
I can't say the woman version of it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I digress. I do struggle in that area. I kind of struggle networking for the same reasons, but like, I know I need to do those things. So one of the things that I do to kind of help myself is if I am going to a networking event. I know it's a little different now that we're in COVID, but I also live in Texas where apparently COVID doesn't exist here for most people. So when I do go to networking events, I take a buddy. And I know that might sound childish at 36, but my best friends are also, they all have kind of their hands in their own business or, you know, side hustles and that kind of thing. So even though it's directly related to what I do, you know, if I'm not the most outgoing person in the bunch, my friends definitely are. They're kind of the icebreakers for me. And since I'm comfortable with them in a situation, then I immediately become more comfortable in the situation. I mean, there's been times that they've gone with me to events and they've had absolutely no reason to be there. And they literally just went because they knew that I needed a friend that day. So I do that. And then I also probably 1 to 2 times a week, at least, I work out of my house. So even though I have like, you know, my whole office set up, I work from a sports bar or from a restaurant. There's 2 here that I go to and I just kind of switch off between which ones I want to go to. And so then I kind of I'm in front of other people. I'm dealing with other people. I'm talking to other people. There's human interaction. So even if nothing specifically comes of it from a business standpoint, you know, those kind of situations force conversation and they force interaction. And it's really easy for us who like to go into hermit mode. When we do then go out and we try to talk to people, it's hard for us to, you know, like sometimes I can't even talk or articulate what I'm trying to say because I'm so out of practice just having a regular conversation. Long story short, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. And like, I know where my weaknesses are. And so instead of trying to just say, okay, this is my weakness and I'm going to deal with it, I try to put myself in positions that force me to address them. Even talking on, you know, podcasts, like this kind of thing, I always get nervous about. But I put myself in the position because ultimately I know it's going to better myself.
Well, you're doing fantastic. No reason to be nervous about it. One of the things that comes up quite frequently when people are thinking about launching out and starting their own thing is the benefits that you now have to provide for yourself. So, and this is probably going to get maybe a little bit more practical than what we've been chatting about. So things like health insurance, things like 401k and PTO and stuff like that, you know, like when you're sick and you've got a deadline and it's your own business, you can't take a paid day off. What does that look like for you? How did you sign up for health insurance? How did you figure out what you needed to save for retirement without having to have an employer do that for you?
So I might not be the best example for that because even when I was in corporate America, I never had health insurance. Like there was a span of maybe 8 months, even after, you know, the Affordable Care Act and all of that launched, I never had health insurance. Losing those type of benefits, for me, that part of it wasn't a risk and I wasn't missing out on anything. Flash forward though, like to where I am now, my business has definitely grown. We've brought on more people. We're now in the position where I feel like the business could very easily stagnate because this is my sole source of income. So by all of my bills and all of my finances and everything having to be paid strictly by the business, it then puts pressure on the business to actually be able to grow. So something I'm even like looking into and considering is potentially, crazy as it sounds, finding a company or working with a company for, you know, a year or 2 years or however long to take away some of the pressure off of my business, because I do now kind of have processes and systems in place for people to kind of take on some of the work that I would normally do myself. And so that way I can take the pressure off the business, still continue to grow the business, but then also, you know, my personal finances or my personal health or all of that doesn't negatively impact the growth of the company as a whole.
Man, I love that. And I think this is so key because I think a lot of people when they feel like they're about to or thinking about jumping in full time to a business, they think, okay, if I go part-time again, that they've failed or that it wasn't successful. And you're looking at it and you're just saying, maybe it's time to pivot so I can continue to grow this thing. So I think that's huge. I think that's a huge part of success and growth.
I agree completely. And honestly, 2 years ago, I would have looked at it as a failure. 100%. I would have looked at it like, oh, I didn't do what I needed to do or, you know, X, Y, and Z, whatever reason. But looking at it now, and maybe it's because I do have, you know, part-time people and contractors and that sort of thing who rely on me, like I feel a responsibility to them. And I feel responsibility to, for me now, like the business isn't necessarily just like, I'm doing the business so I have a sense of freedom. It's now, it's like, it's creating jobs and it's creating opportunities for other people. And going into it, I didn't necessarily think that that was the route that I was going. But now that I'm here, I don't take that for granted.
And another part of it too is now when you go to a job and say, here are my requirements, there's a lot more confidence in what you're saying because you realize if you come underneath what I'm asking for, I'm just going to go do it myself.
So. Exactly that. And like, you know, now it's like, you know, your value even at that point, because you know, like I can pull in this much money by myself and I can pay people and I can bring quality of life to other people and still take care of my kid and take care of my dog. So I'm sure you've heard in the background, I'm really starting to figure out my value, not just as a business owner, but you know, like as a whole entire human being. And there's power in that.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about your journey in the future, a few years down the road, to see how you're doing. So I'd love to have you come on and give us an update sometime in the near future. But until then, tell us where somebody might go to connect with you online.
So outside of my website, which is Websites, my company is Websites by Design, but it's spelled Websites X Design. So you're like a 4x4, or if you're building the foundation of something, you know, we say something is 10 feet by 12 feet. So it's Websites by Design, but websitesxdesign.com. And then Instagram is my playground. So that's where I like hanging out. I think I'm a little too old for TikTok, or else I'd probably be there. But Instagram is the same. It's Websites X Design. Or my personal Instagram is Gorgeous Web Design. So GORJESS Web Design.
Man, such awesome insight from Jessica. And I love the idea that she's not married to her first idea of being in a full-time business. She's pivoting. She's looking at things. She's asking herself the right questions. And ultimately, that's what it takes to be a successful freelance web designer or freelancer in general. It takes looking at what's happening and maybe changing your mind about certain things, but not giving up and not admitting defeat. Maybe admitting a pivot, maybe admitting having to take a few steps back, but you're still going for it and you're still gonna figure it out. And I know that Jessica will, and she'll be back on the podcast to tell us about her journey. Well, next week, we've got another fantastic episode. It's going to be awesome. And I hope that you're with us next week to hear a little bit of good insight, hopefully some good encouragement for you to keep going or to get started wherever it is on your journey. I know it's going to be a ton of fun. But until then, don't forget, if you don't quit, you win.